Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this.
What the?
This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land. We're going old school. No Cobber, just straight to the desert. MCTP, Matt Cobber, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Ted? It's great to see you, man.
Just us, man.
Yeah, doing it. Doing it live.
Going old school today, got a red Solo cup.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Going old school today, high as I was like, oh yeah, Cobb's not even on. I'm gonna have to like really talk today. Like, all right, here we go. I had a preemptive timeout for our longtime listeners.
Right, I might take a timeout, the real timeout today.
Hell yeah.
First of all, it's been a couple weeks. Let's talk about Easter. This isn't just going to be about weed, but tell me more about this edible infused salt you were adding to your breakfast on Easter morning.
Infused salt?
You just sent a picture of bacon, or was that just a jar of weed? I was like, what's he adding edibles to his bacon?
Oh, no. We were making bacon in the oven and then smoking a blunt while the bacon was being made in the oven.
All right. I guess I didn't look at the label. I was just like, look at this crazy SOB.
Yeah. You ever make bacon in the oven, dude?
So Jesse and Jamie swear, but a lot of people swear that's the way to make it.
It's great. Yeah.
Is it that much better?
Dude, I mean, yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're making the whole pack at once.
I know. I don't know what it is. Sometimes, like, I like sitting there and I enjoy the time it takes to, like, fry bacon and, like, smells and, like, I don't know. It's kind of like a peaceful thing.
Right. No, I do enjoy it. And, like, you know, I'll still fry up a couple slices myself, you know, on the go for, like, lunch or whatever. But when it's like a Sunday and we're like, oh, let's eat a lot of bacon, you know, like we got some time, we'll put it in the oven and it just comes out better. And it makes, you know, a whole pack on one sheet with the little grid thing. And it's awesome, man. Yeah.
Do you just cook it on a sheet or do you need like a bacon rack for it?
I think you should have a rack. I think okay. I should. If this is being recorded, if I say you don't need a rack, people will email saying you definitely need one. I'm pretty sure. So, yeah.
Okay.
If you don't have a rack, you should have one. I use that to make my chicken wings. Like, those racks are super clutch.
All right. Then my second question is, are you a crispy bacon guy, floppy, somewhere in between?
Dude, so, I mean, I like that delicate balance right in the middle where it's like crispy on the outside but like falling apart on the inside. And I mean, we nailed it this week. My girlfriend Tyler did it, so I didn't monitor the temp or the exact time, but she knocked it out of the park that day. I mean, it was every single slice was just perfect. And it cooked so evenly.
I was gonna say, because a lot of people like I know are just like, oh, it's got to be crispy. Some people like it. I'm with you. I like it somewhere in between, right? Like, I don't know. Like, cause I don't like it too crispy. Is then to me, it almost doesn't taste like bacon.
Right.
But like, I want it cooked. I don't want it floppy, but like, there's a fine line of what that temperature is.
Yeah. And like the way I would describe it with that even cooking, cause like, as we're talking about it, you know, if you like pan fry, like the same piece can have three different textures as you make your way through it. Like the smaller end's a little too crispy, the middle's just right, and the fatter end's a little bit gooier or whatever. But like when it cooks it evenly in the oven from all sides at the same time, it's like that crisp outer layer forms and just like locks in the goodness on the inside.
I've been on a big sausage link for breakfast kick.
Okay.
And like, I'm with you. Bacon's still probably the goat, but I don't know, man. Those little links are pretty good. And then last week I had some time off, so like Thursday I was just like doing laundry, like, you know, just like all the like household chores. So it was like noon, and I was like, I'll just make myself a brunch. Like, cooked up a bunch of sausage links. Like, I've decided I like to chop them up and then throw them in the tortilla with the scrambled eggs and the cheese, and then like I had
Okay.
salsa and like some guac. Trust me, it was a quite lovely lunch for one guy, a brunch by yourself.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. First of all, I used to eat dinner before the podcast. I stopped doing that like a month ago or so. So food talk is like great for me again. It used to be just you and Cobb would show up hungry, and I was like, yeah, I just finished my Witch or my In-N-Out. I'm good, boys. So it's fun to be back in the same boat with you. Like, hell yeah, dude. Let's talk food. That brunch sounds amazing.
I know, like literally, like as I'm talking about it in my head, I'm like, I got four of those links left, one more tortilla, might have a little breakfast taco for dinner tonight.
Okay, yeah, here you go. So I did this for the first time the other day. Have you ever made poached eggs?
Okay, so me and my buddy Bernie, years ago, we were like teenagers, and we went through this phase where we were obsessed with poached eggs. But we always used the little shortcut of like that little container that you put in the boiling water, like in the pan, and then you just put the eggs in there and they come out like poached. I've never poached one just in
So
water.
you could do multiple at the same time.
Yeah, it was like three of them.
Ooh, I gotta look for one of those because I had to do it one at a time. And yeah, I did it like the old school way where I added a tablespoon of vinegar, which a dude on YouTube said would help do something. I don't know. But then you had to like make a vortex. Like you took the spoon
Yeah.
and you like swirled it around and then you put your egg in there, and it was like so cool watching it form in that little vortex. I was like, your way sounds more efficient. You can get a few done and actually like use them. With this one, you know, by the time I made three, the first one was kind of coldish, you know? And so, yeah, but the vortex was just so fun. I'm kind of hooked on the one at a time deal because you get to swirl it up.
Are you a two hands or one hand when you crack your eggs?
Two. I mean, I crack it with one, but I open it with two.
All right.
I knock it down. Dude, I'm so bad at that. Like, I can't ensure that my yolk will stay intact confidently. It's been a while now, but like, and I can't flip eggs that well. Like, there's been so many times where there's a little piece of shell in my egg that I have to
Yeah.
fish out and or the yolk breaks either while I crack the egg or when I attempt to flip the egg that I thought wasn't going to be a scrambled egg, while I'm trying to make, you know, a different type. So yeah, eggs are tricky, man. Like, shout out to people that know their eggs and can email us some tips.
I mean, look, I can do it with one hand. I don't know where I picked it up.
Can you?
Yeah, and I never thought of it. Number two, by the way, here's a tip. If you ever get a little shell if you're going to scramble eggs and there's a little shell in there, take part of the empty shell and you can fish out the little piece of broken shell, as
Yeah.
opposed to trying to use your fingers like pinchers and it keeps sliding around.
Yeah, it feels like the shell is like it's like they're magnetized. It's crazy how that thing is just finds the little piece.
Yeah, so like that's what I'm saying. I can do it with one hand. I never really thought about it. And
Do you get
then
shells? Do you get cracked yolks?
no, they're usually pretty full yolks. Once in a
Okay.
while, there's a little shell, but I can just pick it out. But I never thought about doing it one-handed until or like it was a big deal until a mutual friend of ours, man, I forget, she was in town for something. Might have been one of our parties. And like she slept on my couch. So, like the next day I was making breakfast. She was like, "That's pretty impressive." I was like, I thought everybody cracked him with one hand.
Yeah. Would she have had to come up for one of our parties?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Seems like something, yeah, she would appreciate. When did you learn how to do that one-handed crack?
God. I'm not sure. Like, now that we're talking about this, I'm saying, like, I don't know where I picked that up. Like DB that I used to live with in Baltimore and Towson, he was a good cook. So I might have picked it up from him years ago. I don't know. That's a good question. Like I'm racking my brain. I don't know. It's just one of those things. Yeah. And like, I just like eggs. So I guess maybe I just spent enough time working on it, but I'm like, where the hell did I pick that up?
That would be so tight.
Yeah. Hey, you got to do it with confidence. All right.
I bet. But
like, it looks badass if you're just making like a sunny side up or a fried egg and you just crack that fucker on the side of the thing and then open it up right into the hot pan. People are like, Jesus, nice work. Like,
yeah,
no problem. I got you.
Oh my dude. That is, does Cobb know that about you?
I'm sure he's seen me make eggs before and all the times we spent together. Okay. Like, sure. Yeah. I made him breakfast. Like, maybe I haven't. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is my first time learning about it and my mind is blown. And so,
I know. See, even your reaction, I'm like, huh, I guess that many people don't do
that's
it.
That's such a dope feather in the cap, dude.
I will say, though, shout out to our buddy Jason Wilson. His breakfast burritos were still one of the highlights of Summer Meltdown.
Oh, God. Yeah. He's the man. And those things are great.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I do like to cook. But if there's like a group of people, like cooking breakfast is just awesome. Now, my cousin Kelly, like the guy she's married to now, Joe, like this was years ago. We're all up at Deep Creek Lake. They happened to come up and it's 4th of July morning. And that was just Joe's thing. Like he didn't really know everybody. I mean, I knew him, but everybody was still kind of getting used to him. And he's like, oh, I'm going to cook breakfast. And we were like, do you need any help? He's like, no help. That SOB got up. He like went out to his car, got his griddle, put it on top of the stove. And I mean, he was pumping out, you know, sausage, bacon, eggs. Yeah. I was like, Jesus, man. But like, I just feel like that's the easiest like mass meal to make outside of like barbecuing something all day.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah, you can pump out some volume with breakfast foods pretty easily. I made those BLTs for everybody that one time when we all went down. And, you know, that was, I mean, because I make BLTs and wings, and both of those I can kind of scale up pretty well for groups like that. But, yeah, other than those two, breakfast would definitely be the easiest. And those aren't really full meals. Those are both kind of snacky. Right?
I was just about to say, if you combine our powers together, we kick ass at a 10 a.m. Seahawks game.
Oh, like, man.
You wake up, Ted's making breakfast. By halftime, there might be a BLT or wings, depending on which one Matt makes first.
Wow. Yeah. Oh.
I think last year, what was it, the second or third game of the year, the Seahawks were at Detroit, and I made bacon, egg, and cheese sliders on Hawaiian bread and like brushed the top with like a garlic butter it was like brown sugar and butter mixture. Like those were probably the highlight. I was like, all right, this is breakfast on a whole new level.
And can I say, Ted, like the thought of breakfast at scale, like I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like cracking that many eggs gives me anxiety. Like you're a lucky man, dude.
I like
the more we're talking about this, the more I'm like, I don't know if I could crack, you know, a dozen eggs in a row successfully. Like I'm gonna be holding up everybody's brunch with another eggshell, fishing out the little pieces. Hope you guys like scrambled.
Right? I'll take mine sunny side up. How about a fried egg? Because the yolk broke. Like, yeah, all right, I'll take a fried egg. That's what I always do. I'm like, all right, sunny side up. And then if I'm messing with them and break the yolk, it's like, we're having fried eggs.
Yeah. Surprise.
Dude, I saw a video the other day of a dude cooking just yolks.
Really?
I guess he had the whites separated and then he flipped them and they landed on the same side that they started. So I was like, A, why are you flipping them? B, what are you doing with just the yolks?
Dude. Yeah. Do you know how to separate the yolks from the whites?
No. If I'm eating egg whites, I'll just buy a carton of them.
Okay.
So I'm lazy.
I bought an ice cream maker recently.
All right.
And My buddy, so online, there's a lot of recipes for ice cream that you make yourself with, just a few simple ingredients, and a common one is egg yolks. And I'm like, I can't separate though. I'm gonna have to figure this out to make these ice creams a little healthier.
The only trick I know is using an empty plastic bottle.
Oh, I think I've seen that. Yeah, and it like suctions it out up into it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that freaks me out, but I guess I got nothing to lose. But yeah, so but then I talked to my buddy who's been on this podcast, Jeremy Schultz, who
Oh,
walked
yeah.
across America. That guy's, of course, he makes his own ice cream and he uses just egg whites. And so I was like, I guess I could just, if he's using egg whites and swears by his, and all these online recipes are saying egg yolks, I could probably just put couple whole eggs
I,
in the mix.
that's what I was just about to say. I was like, dude, if Jeremy's just, if he's just using the whites, they say use the yolks. Like at that point, I'm just cracking a couple eggs in there.
That simplified things for me today. I was just talking to Jeremy on the phone. Guys, as intense as ever. But that was one of my favorite episodes.
That guy's so intense. He's so nice, but like he walks across America, right? He's already in a bunch of bands and he's just an intense dude. And then what's it been the last 2 or 3 years? He's like a plus 50 bodybuilder now and he's just shredded. And I'm like, that seems about right for him. Like, if he's into it, he's into it. Seriously, I was like, God damn, good for you, man. All right, Matt, did you watch any of the women's basketball tournament?
A few minutes here and there, but no, I just had an action-packed weekend. I saw more leading up to it, specifically Iowa and Caitlin Clark. And then
All
I
right, did
saw
you watch any of the men's tournament?
some of the final some of the early games when it's just like they're on everywhere all the time. I saw that Oakland game live. That was pretty dope. That early upset. And
You know where
yeah, I
that school
watched.
is?
Huh?
You know where that school is?
Oh, I know, outside of Michigan, Auburn Hills, where the Malice at the Palace was.
It's so funny. People are like, Oakland's not in Oakland? Like, nah, man.
I only learned that since that game. Yeah, one of my clients told me about it because they're like from the Midwest. They knew. So
Yeah, I was gonna say Ohio, but Michigan works. They're right next to each other.
yeah, I sounded like such an idiot. Oh, are you serious? Like,
So obviously I'm a nerd, so I watched a lot of them. The women's tournament actually was pretty good. Caitlin Clark obviously is an amazing scorer. So like Friday, I watched the women's final four. Saturday, I went over to a buddy's house to watch the men's final four, then came here with our buddy George to watch some Formula Un. Yeah, it was so nice. Japan race started at 10. But it's funny, Sunday was the women's final and it had like 4 million viewers more than the men's final last night. And like, just as a sports fan, I get annoyed with the networks as it is, but it's like the women's tournament had bigger names. Like the women stay at least three, usually they stay 3 or 4 years. So they establish a program and you know them. I said, but also that game was on a Sunday. Right? Like 6:20 start for us on the West Coast is great, but like that was you. What if you're a UConn fan, right? Let's picture little Matt. He's 10 years old, right? It's probably shirtless. He's a UConn fan, right? It's like, hey dad, can I watch the game? I'm like, it's a school night, but it doesn't start till 9:20. Like, Jesus, man, get real.
I mean,
I
at
just.
that point, even a little kid would fall asleep, like if that's his favorite team. And dude, I always watch One Shining Moment with my dad whenever possible.
I watched it last night.
Yeah, we do it in person a bunch. Over the years, we've done it over the phone. And one of those years, I was in Baltimore for school, and
Right.
it didn't start till after midnight.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened last night, except we were here in the desert. It was like 9:15 or something. And I was like, damn, dude, that's where UConn is. It's after midnight to watch One Shining Moment after your team just went back to back.
Right. It's like, I don't know. It's just like, I get and it's like there's more people there, right? Like, I'm just like, that's, I'm glad I got to watch the whole game. Wasn't that exciting? But it's like, that's got to suck if you're a UConn fan. Like, I don't know, start that thing at 5 for us on the West Coast or 4:30, you know, just like,
yeah,
get real. I mean, it's even like, you know, as Monday Night Football starts a little early for us, like what, 5:15? I mean, that's still, if you're on the East Coast, you know, you live there for a few months, like you're still not really done that game till almost midnight.
Yeah, dude, my girlfriend Tyler was like, oh, what do you, you know, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go watch this game with my dad. And then she like thought we had to adjust our dinner plans. And I was like, no, it doesn't start till like 6:20. I don't really care about the first half a ton. And then where we got dinner, that was actually on. But I was like, dude, this one shining moment thing that I'm really trying to go see isn't going to be till like after you go to sleep, basically. Like, we're desert people.
I also like Danny Hurley, the coach of UConn. I had forgotten this, but it's like a clip from like 2 or 3 years ago. And it's after they lose at Villanova. And I don't know if you've seen this going around the internet.
No.
He's just like, he's like talking about the program. He's like, this was a tough loss. And then I like, he just goes, you better get us now. Cause it's coming. Like, it's coming.
Dude.
So then to win back to back, it's like, wow, damn. Like, what a ballsy and just way to call your shot.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's Babe Ruth status. Just like pointing to center field. Like, I got this.
Yeah, right.
Did you, I mean, his post game, he was like in full on recruiting mode that entire time. Like, that was wild.
Yeah. And I mean, look, you know, my buddy Sean, we would always have these conversations of like, you know, who's a blue blood, who's not. And it's like, Danny Hurley's right. Like, UConn's clearly got to be established as a blue blood. And now he's right. For the last 20, 30 years, like, between their men's and women's program, like, they have run college basketball.
Yeah. What is it, like, 6 in the last 25 years or something?
I mean, it's something crazy. Yeah. They only dipped down a couple years there after their, after Calhoun, I think it was Coach Calhoun, after he left. And then, yeah, he got him right back on track.
What year was Ray Allen there?
Oh, Ray was there a long time ago.
Right.
Like what? Like,
they didn't win a title when he was there, did they?
He might have won a title.
Because I think it was like 95 was their first one or something like that. Like, it was in the 90s still. Like, I was like, was Ray Allen on that team? But I never looked it up, so.
Yeah. I mean, I think he did win a title with them. Still probably one of the sweetest.
That would have been like the first one of the of that stat in the last 25 years.
Say Ray Allen. I mean, that's a pure jump shot there.
Yeah. Jesus Shuttlesworth.
I mean, he'll always be Jesus Shuttlesworth to me.
I know. It is funny because like we were both in Seattle for like some great years with him there. And it's like, yeah, but you're still Jesus Shuttlesworth, man. Come on.
Dude, Ray was already gone by the time I got here.
Was he?
Okay. Yeah, he had moved over to Boston with like what, the Big Three?
Yeah.
That was like the original one. And then right, Denzi ends up going down to Miami.
Okay.
Let's see. All right, he's 48. Yeah, he was at UConn from 93 to 96. And then
right.
Yep, 2-time NBA champions. I can't tell. Maybe he didn't win a title there, but
no, I think they won in one of those years in 95 or 96. Yeah.
Yeah. But either way, I mean, good. I get what Hurley's saying. Like, he's like, yeah, we're the boss now.
That's that's pretty crazy. Cause like you just think about their women's program so much more.
Yeah.
It's at least up until these last 2 years, like back to back, just like makes it this like, oh, damn, are the men on the same page as the women in UConn? And, like, I didn't realize they had won that many times since Ray Allen was there. And, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty impressive resume they've got on both sides. And, like, absolutely legend. I mean, it's like John Wooden status on the women's side.
Oh, yeah, with Gino.
Yeah, that's insane. But, like, yeah, I think maybe he has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder of, like, everybody knows us for our women's hoops, and like we're trying to make sure everyone knows that the men's hoops is like on that level too, and it's like they're pretty close. They got a good case now.
I know. Well, UConn to me was always kind of like Arizona. Like Arizona had a great basketball program, but it seemed like you'd kind of forget about them. Then, like every 4 or 5 years, it's like Arizona's back in the Final Four. But I think what Hurley's saying, which I agree with, he's like, all right, let's stop talking about Kentucky and Kansas. Like, we're UConn. And I honestly, I like his brashness. I like how upfront he was. I don't know if you saw the slow-mo video of him looking at his son on the court as time's ticking out, and he's like, slam that ball.
Yeah.
Right? It's like that kind of stuff. And like, look, things are changing, right? Like, we talk about it all the time. Like, you know, like, you got to have that attitude to recruit those. Like you said, that's recruiting. You got to those kids, you got to make those kids want to play for you and want to put in that hard work and effort in the rest of the year.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, look, spring ball is going on right now for college football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of good schools out there, but there's some, you know, some university we're not even thinking of right now where those guys are going ape shit, right? They're putting in that extra time. As soon as spring ball is done, they're going to be putting in those AM workouts, nighttime lifts. Like, some school is out there with a coach like Hurley telling them, trust me, we're building, which basketball is a little easier to turn a program around. You only need a couple good dudes.
Yeah.
Whereas like football, you need a lot of them. But yeah, I just thought that was awesome from Hurley. And honestly, like, the only thing bad about the women's tournament, I thought, is just like, everybody just shut the fuck up. All right. They had amazing viewership. It was more exciting than the men's tournament, and everybody getting on each other with, you know, from one side or the other, like, well, this is why men shouldn't talk about women's hoops, or, you know, other dudes calling other dudes. And it's just like, I was talking about on the air. It's like, look, it's okay. Like, it's okay. We're all agree. We're all watching. That's what we want. And then I was like, and it's college chicks playing basketball. Number 24 is hot from Iowa.
Like
both things can be true. Right. I was talking about, like, I know plenty of girls that, you know, like Travis Kelce.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's not like I know who Jenny Finch is because I was watching a lot of college softball.
Yeah. Yeah. I like some of those golfers too.
Ooh. All right. Speaking of golf, I like this is just old school food and sports.
Yeah.
Matt, you're the golf expert. What do we need to know going in to Masters weekend? I see you're in your green.
Yeah. Oh, that's just coincidental. This is just on the top of the pile. But yeah, I am actually a little bit conflicted because I won't watch any of the Masters this year because we're going to Coachella.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Tell me more. All right, the Masters.
Okay. Yeah, dude, no doubts reuniting.
No kidding.
Can't miss that. Yeah, it's a cool lineup. You know, there's a bunch of stuff I don't recognize, and it's more of just to, like, check it out for the first time and see what it's like and hopefully not feel too old. It's kind of my game plan for now.
I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. The main thing that I want to see is the No Doubt show, though.
That'll make you seem like the old guy. How do you spell Coachella?
That'll make you seem like the old guy. Damn it, dude. You're so right. How has that not dawned on me?
I'm just here to see No Doubt, guys.
I'm going to be not seem too old. I'm just here for No Doubt. Damn it.
All right. Hang on. I'm looking at the lineup now. Like, let's see what's going on here. Like that. No Doubt. Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't give it to me. Just, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah. It's Lana Del Rey, Tyler, the Creator. Oh, man.
Who's all right. Lana Del Rey. There's a lot more of her songs that I like than people would know.
Okay.
Tyler, the Creator, we both are fans of his. Ooh, Baby Rexha.
Not
I'm just
familiar.
Going down alphabetically, obviously, now.
Okay.
I've heard Coachella is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll just be fun in the desert, you know, a fun party celebrating the region that I actually successfully moved to. You know, people love coming down here and getting amped on this place.
Like, oh yeah,
it's just fun having people around that are not from here and enjoying it. And yeah, like I kind of love tourists just enjoying the place, and I think there's gonna be a lot of that there, and people just being like, look at these mountains, look at this sunset, and like, especially because they'll probably all be pretty high, I hear, you know. And then I'll just be like, yeah, that's my every night, man.
Yeah, and like, I don't, it's easy to hate on Coachella, but like, we've talked about it before. I feel like that's one of those things, like, oh, these Instagram people and this and that. It's like, they're having fun. It's a beautiful place. You're in the Coachella Valley at the time of year where it's like a nice temperature, yeah. And you're not just dying. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd go to that in a second.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be pretty fun. Sublime's playing with their original lead singer's son on vocals.
All right. All right. Which
will be the first like public show of that, too. So, also here for Sublime, but not the old dude, everyone.
All right.
Damn it.
Sorry, I'm just like looking at this stuff. I will tell you this. This is Matt and I just going through a schedule now. After No Doubt, you could stay at the Coachella stage for Tyler, the Creator.
Has the schedule been released? I haven't even seen the schedule. Damn, dude.
Yeah, but I would go over to the Sahara stage at midnight after you watch your old show and go see Dom Dalla.
Okay.
He's a pretty good DJ. And
Dom Dalla would be fun, you say.
Yeah. I got into that after Vegas, hanging out with somebody who's 21 and DJs. And he's like, you got to listen to this. And I was like, ooh, good call, dude. This guy's awesome.
Okay.
Oh, man. Awesome. Apparently, I would just go to the EDM stage. So, I mean, Sunday, Jesus, I'm going to stop. But like Sunday at that Sahara stage, you have DJ Snake and then John Summit.
Yeah.
That's pretty legit.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Tyler thought, nope, we misheard the No Doubt time, but that's great news.
Yeah. I mean, as a golf fan, if you're going to miss like arguably the biggest golf tournament of the year, I think going to Coachella is a very, very valid reason to miss
right,
it.
Right. And like, yeah, I mean, it was Tyler doesn't even like know that I'm sacrificing the Masters to go to this festival with her, but you know, it was her idea. I was fully on board. I didn't check and be like, no, weekend one's the Masters. We'll have to go weekend two. It's the weekend of 420. How fitting. We didn't want to be tied up on 420. We wanted to leave the holiday open. And, you know, so
I would also recommend go back. I know it's been years, but remember when you were a boozer, I'm like, if you're going to find a TV, like in the, you know, like if it's like in the evening and there's no act you want to see, go look for like a place that's like liquor bar and that like might be like somewhat indoors, yeah. Or whatever. It's like, or like the beer house, like yeah. They might have a TV on that might actually,
dude,
have
that's
that
a good point. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure I'll be checking my phone for the Masters. I'm in two pools. So, yeah, I like my odds. I like my picks a lot. I mean, it's a fun time of year. The Masters are great. It just, yeah, it's especially down here. Like, I'm such a golf-centric community. Like, the Masters is a big celebration, but also so is Coachella. So that's where we're going to be.
I was just telling the story the other day, like I played 1 year of JV golf at Dematha, right?
That's which, right.
So we would play like three round, like nine hole rounds a week, but you'd always play Friday after school. We'd go up to whatever course and you got to play for free, and we'd get in around, you know, like a twilight, basically, like, all right, you guys can go play,
like to practice.
Yeah, so you'd practice, and then on Saturdays, you'd play over at, like, the one course where you actually had the tournaments. But I never, because I was talking to somebody who's really into golf. They're talking about Tiger Woods, and I go, that's probably my best golf story, is, like, we're putting out on 18, and we were, like, the last foursome out, because it's twilight, right? Like, And I remember one of our buddies came jogging over and he's like, you won't believe what Tiger Woods just did on Friday at the Masters. So we were like, what'd he do? And that was like the first year he went, like, you had heard of him, but you hadn't like heard of him. And
yeah,
like,
he went low on that Friday too.
Yeah, he shoots just some ridiculous score. And then
I don't even remember it. I saw it in a documentary, like on YouTube about him, like a 30-minute thing. And then I watched the round is on YouTube, the whole round. Like,
oh, is it?
Yeah, anytime Tyra leaves town, I just start like watching old golf matches.
That's pretty funny.
On YouTube, yeah. It is like, can't wait for the old ball and chain to get out of here. Like, wow, you're going to get wild, dude. You have no idea.
Dude, I left. I mean, there was a decent group of people watching the Final Four where I was. And then I left and like somebody got over there. They're like, where the hell are you? And I was like, hey, man, I just said I was watching basketball. And they're like, well, we're kind of having a party. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And then like somebody else kept texting me. And I was like, all right, fine. Me and my buddy George are watching F1 at my house. Like, so do you want me to say it? I'll tell you.
You happy? We're having a good time. Leave me alone.
Does that make you feel any better? Like, I blew you off for F1. You know what, you can add in a break word at wherever, but you know what, we might as well just jump in and see what you've been up to, see what's Matt.
Hey, what's good, what's Matt?
Before we get to what's Mattening,
hey, what's good, what's Matt?
Check out what's Mattening.
Hey, what's good, what's Matt?
Before we get to what's Mattening,
hey, what's good? What's
Matt?
Whoa.
Check out with what's
Matt. Yeah. So we did Easter since I saw you last time. I mean, really, it comes down to a couple simple things. There was a lot of work going mostly well. Always fun stories there, but not for this podcast. But I love what I do, so I'm very fortunate. And then, dude, my niece was in town the last 2 weekends. She's like about to turn 2, and it's such a fun age. Like, she loves me and I love her, and I just go see her as much as possible when she's in the desert. And you know, it's my parents' place, so they have a golf cart there because it's on a golf course. So nice. She likes to ride in the golf cart and go look for ducks, you know, on the different ponds around the community. And so on the course, and then there's some of the houses, and you know, she just knows I'm always down because I'm always fresh. Every time I go over there, I'm like, what do we got, 45 minutes to 2.5 hours? Like, I'm ready to rock, guys. And so she knows that she can get away with whatever she wants to do as long as there's no imminent danger. And so yeah, I've just been kicking it
with
her.
Which is the realm of the aunt, uncle, and grandparent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm the fun uncle. So I found out this weekend, thanks to a recent engagement, congratulations, Matt and Amanda, she's going to have 3 Uncle Matts. And so
that's pretty good.
You know, it lit a little competitive fire for me, because I mean, I like to be the favorite uncle, period, but like, I got 2 other Uncle Matts I gotta beat out first. So game on, boys.
I mean, you're obviously gonna have to wrestle them,
right? So I think I scored some big points this weekend for that ongoing, you know, battle of attrition, really. I think it's I'm playing a long game, but yeah, she's the best. So that was fun. And then you know, my brother and his wife were in town too. That was cool. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of the 2-year-old show around there. And yeah, I'm just really stoked on the opportunities. So, but I did find time to golf every time. So she was here Easter weekend, went back to LA, came back this weekend. Both times, like right after she left, my dad and I go golf, and we're just like excited to be in the golf cart, looking at the ducks, looking at the geese, like, you know, looking at the trees. She just like points at random dude. It's like, it makes you more present. It makes you appreciate stuff differently. And so we've both fired like 80s scores both times. Like,
nice.
He was, I think he shot an 85 and I shot an 86 the first time. Then I shot an 87 and he shot an 88 the last time. But I don't know. It's just like fun, fun times. You know, you go see the baby and then you squeeze in some golf afterwards and you both like play really well within a stroke of each other. It's just like, yeah, great, great family time these last couple weekends. And now it's like going to the festival and 420 is the next weekend. So like, later, nerds. I'll see you in May.
I like that. Later,
showed up
nerds.
Big, though.
I mean, look, it wasn't 420. I think it might have been Hemp Fest or something, but talking about weed and sports, I remember you and Tyler came over.
Oh.
I ordered, what was that? McGregor.
Yeah,
we got pizzas. We had smoked a bunch of weed, and then we watched McGregor and Nate Diaz.
Diaz, yeah, one of those ones. And that was Hemp Fest. We had edibles, and we walked back to your place in Belltown. And dude, that was a fun one.
Yeah, I mean that's a good sporting Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, that was a really good time, and it was just a perfect walk too, right there from whatever that park's called that Hemp Fest is at to your place was like. The perfect amount of a stoned walk, but it did not help me sober up one bit. And I'm pretty sure we just kept smoking once we got into your place. There's no chance. Dude, was that Hemp Fest kind of, I think, so that was like probably our first year together. That was like 7 or 8 years ago or something now. Like there might have still been, you know, just kind of like, basement edibles around, which are like, it was always a crapshoot of like, how strong is this thing? And then how early am I going to take my second one? Because I'm impatient and I don't feel the first one. And how much trouble am I going to get into with these Rice Krispie treats that are like clearly not labeled 10 milligram, 50 milligram, whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. Those, I mean, I still get some homemade ones from people and that like, luckily my friends now are like, do this much or do that much. But I mean, I told you that same condo, like that building when I was in Belltown, I had a buddy and same thing. I just nonchalantly gave him and his girl like these edibles. And then, I mean, it was hours later. And I was like, listen, man, like, I'm not trying to be rude, but we had done it during the day. And I'm like, it's 5 p.m. on a Saturday. I got places to go. Like, you can nap here? Like, you know, I was like, I got to call you a cab. Like, I basically like, get the fuck off my couch, man.
Dude, yeah. That was a fun era.
Yeah.
Like the questionable edibles, like you have no idea what you're getting into, was kids these days will never know. It's just like you get a receipt, it's clearly labeled. Like, where's the fun in that?
Oh, dude. The best one I had was I lived in Belltown, so I lived so close to that park, but like I go to Hemp Fest just by myself, right? And like, I know enough people, like our buddy Scott. And
yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to walk around and say hi to people. So along the way, I have definitely gotten some weed from people, right? And then on the way out, I see, what was it? The Grilled Cheese Experience. I think that was a food truck.
Ooh,
and
they had been
at like Red Fest or whatever. So like, as I'm walking out, I go over there. I'm like, oh, what's up, guys? And they're like, ah, we're almost closed. And the guy's like, oh, Ted, what's up, dude? And I was like, hey, man, I never got to eat one of your things. He's like, you look stoned as hell. And I was like, I am. And I'm just holding a box of weed, just nugs. And I'm like, all right, and their grilled cheeses are amazing.
Yeah.
So then when I'm walking out, I'm holding this giant grilled cheese with like steak or something in it in a box of weed. And I remember this cop just looks at me. He goes, how you doing? I go, oh, this is a great day. And he just goes, is that, you're not driving, are you? And I go, oh, no, man. I live 2 blocks away. And he's like, all right.
Damn. All right.
I know. It's like, and you know me, I'm just cheesing, like, yeah, smiling, like, oh, I got a box.
You got nothing on me, dude.
Yeah, I got a grilled cheese. Like, ah, this, I mean, everything's going right on a Sunday like this.
It's living.
All right. Well, we missed Cobb this week. He was down in, I mean, he lives in Texas, but he had some friends down there for the Eclipse stuff. So he was still hosting today. And I was like, take the day off. Host. Yeah. But back next week. Next week, we should be back to full strength. And I don't know, maybe Matt and I will eat a snack beforehand, so we don't just go back to, we haven't done food talk in a while.
Yeah.
This is a classic The Podcast, though.
Yeah.
Food talk, sports talk, festival talk.
Yeah.
I mean, those are pretty much the three greatest
our marks. Yeah.
Right. Three most important things in our life. Well, I mean, family, chicks, whatever.
Whatever. Right. Yeah.
From CCTV, I'm Pete Ted Smith. This is The Podcast. Cheers.